Okay, good morning, everyone. Morning to everyone joining on Zoom. And of course, good morning, everyone joining us on YouTube this morning. I'm sure I'm not the first to say it, but Happy New Year to everyone. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come together this morning to seek your presence and to hear your word. So much of this life is temporary, even this life. And yet we have in you, through faith, things eternal that cannot perish or fade, kept in heaven for us. Lord, thank you that through the trials and struggles of this life, all of which are temporary, we have a real hope of eternity and of eternal blessings, even love and peace and joy. Father, thank you that because of your grace, we can taste these things even now through faith in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Through him, we rejoice that our sins are forgiven. Through him, we rejoice in our salvation, and in him, we rejoice in the promise of eternal life. This fallen world in which we live would draw us away from focusing on you and the good news that we have, if it were not for the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. So help us this morning and always to study your word and to live as people of faith, walking in love and peace as we follow Christ Jesus, guided by your word and spirit. Help us, Father, to glorify you in all that we do here this morning in our worship and every day as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. May we give you glory this morning, Lord, in our worship. May we praise you from hearts full of gratitude and love, remembering that we love because you first loved us, ultimately expressing this love for us through the cross of Christ, who died there for us, even as we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Because of this and the hope of eternal life through his resurrection, we pray, Father, that you will transform our hearts and minds and make us into the likeness of Christ. Oh, the wonder of that promise. And though we will never be equal to him or as worthy, still we desire to reflect him to the world around us, knowing that one day every knee shall bow before him. Father, we bow before him now and ask you to open our hearts and our ears in this time that we have together this morning, so that we can be filled with the joy of faith and equipped to do the good works that you've prepared in advance for us to do. And may we do it all in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's go straight into our first hymn, which is Be Thou My Vision. Feel free to sing to your heart's content. We're all muted. So thanks, Phil. Be Thou My Vision. Thank you. Okay, Jan is now going to bring us our prayers of intercession, after which Catherine will be speaking to the children. So, Jan, if you want to bring us our prayers of intercession now, thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, let's pray together then. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can come to you this morning, Lord, and thank you for the very privilege of that, being able to come into your very presence. Lord, something that in years gone by would have been unthought of. And yet, Lord, you've opened the way for us to come to you and to bring our praise and our thanks and our concerns and our worries, Lord, for ourselves and for one another. Lord, and I thank you that that way is being made open because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, coming and becoming a man and living amongst us. Lord, showing us what you're truly like. And Lord, through his death on the cross, Lord, making it possible for us to be forgiven for our sins, Lord, and to, Lord, be reconciled to you and be made your children, Lord. And you've given us the gift of your Holy Spirit to live within our hearts, Lord, to guide us and to help us to live the life that you've called us to. So, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all your love and your mercy towards us. Lord, I thank you that there is no one like you. Lord, as we've been thinking recently of, Lord, your sovereignty and, Lord, how you are in control of all things. Lord, as we look back on the year that has just gone, and it's been a year that none of us could have anticipated, and I don't think even when the virus first started that we would ever envision that we would still be here like we are now, still under the effects of that virus. And yet, Lord, I thank you that it's no surprise to you that you are never, Lord, caught out by world events, but you're in control of them, Lord, and you are working out your purposes for salvation across the world. And that even today, there will be those who will be saved, who will become a part of your family, Lord, a part of your church. So I thank you, Lord, that when we come to you with our prayers, that we can trust you and that we can rely on you and on your word to be always true and always working out those purposes for our good and for the good of mankind. So, Lord, I just thank you for the fact that we can come to you. I thank you, Lord, that you've kept us through the last year. Lord, when we've seen so many changes to the way that we live and the way that we work, Lord, and each day we hear the death toll of people who have, Lord, so sadly been victims to this virus. I thank you that we're here today, Lord, that you've kept us safe. And I pray that you continue to do that in the coming year. Lord, I thank you that we are able to meet together in this way, even though the weather's bad today, which is another added factor. Lord, I thank you that we are able to meet together and to share fellowship with one another, Lord, through this medium. And Lord, I just pray that as we're at the start of a new year, that you would give us a real desire for you as we go through the year. Lord, that you would, despite the challenges that we face and the difficulties, that our heart would be for you. Lord, that we would want to know more of you, that we would be, Lord, have a real desire for your word and for prayer, and Lord, to grow more and more like the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to, Lord, turn away from the things of the world, which so often, Lord, entice us and captivate us, Lord, and help our hearts to be more and more tuned into you, to have a greater desire to follow you and to do your will, to, Lord, be used by you and to be an encouragement to one another. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help our government also. Lord, I do commit them to you, and I pray for them in the challenges that they face and have been facing now for several months. Lord, I ask that you would strengthen them and help them, Lord, to carry on in the work that they're doing. Lord, I imagine that in many ways they're exhausted, and Lord, that every day seems to bring a new challenge and a new difficulty for them. And I ask you, Lord, to equip them, Lord, to, Lord, give them the strength and the resilience that they need to keep on doing the job that they've been elected to do. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom. I pray for those who advise them, for the civil servants, Lord, for, Lord, the scientists. Lord, that you would guide their thinking. Lord, and in the decisions that they make, that they would make good decisions. Lord, I do pray for them that you would help them. In this ever-changing situation, Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom to know what is best to do. Lord, I also pray for our doctors and our nurses, Lord, and all of those who are working in the hospitals and in care homes and in the community caring for the most vulnerable, Lord. I pray for them. Lord, we hear so often now how they are pushed right to the brink of endurance. And Father, I pray for them that you would help them to continue to provide the care that's so desperately needed at this time. Lord, I pray that you will give them wisdom in the decisions that they have to make about their patients. Lord, help them to make the right ones and help them to know that that's what they are doing. They are making the right decisions in the moment that they're in the situations that they face themselves, Lord. And I just pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, I pray for our teachers as well, as they're facing going back to school, and there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment about what's best to do. As to whether they go back on time, whether it's delayed, whether they go back at all. Lord, there's a lot of conversation at the moment. I pray for our teachers, Lord, that you would watch over them, Lord, that you would give them strength. They too have been working incredibly hard over the last few months to help, to continue to help our young people and our children, Lord, to Lord, make progress in their education. And everyone knows how important that is. Lord, I pray for protection for them. I pray for the plans to begin testing children in schools and the practical outworking of that. I just pray, Lord, that your hand would be on that situation, that, Lord, you would keep our children and young people safe, but also our teachers as well, that you would protect them. Lord, and any plans that are made would be wise plans for the protection of all. Father, I just commit that situation to you and pray that you would be at work. And Lord, I pray also for Lord, I want to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world today who are in very difficult situations. Lord, they don't have the resources and, Lord, the availability to healthcare and even basic things that we take for granted every day, Lord. And we know that many of our Christian brothers and sisters are often discriminated against because they are Christians. So I want to pray for them today. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters who are currently in prison. Lord, I pray that you would be with them today. Lord, that you would encourage them. Lord, I pray for those who are, Lord, have had to flee their homes because of violence and are living away from their homes. Lord, that you would draw near to them and encourage them. Lord, I pray for those who have family who are in prison and maybe it's mothers who are caring for their children without their husbands. Lord, I pray that you would be with them and help them in their situation. Lord, I pray that you would help pastors as they seek to guide their churches where they're living in situations of persecution or increasing persecution or increasing surveillance. Lord, I pray that you would be with them as they seek to guide your church. Lord, give them wisdom to know what to do, Lord, what to say. Lord, I pray that you would be with them. And I thank you, Lord, that often we see that in places where persecution is greatest, that this is where your church is growing. Even in those situations, you are bringing people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for that work that you're doing around the world. And I pray that will continue today, Lord, that more people would be saved. Lord, that you would encourage those who are facing extreme persecution, Lord, and Lord, where they feel that maybe they can't carry on, Lord, that you would just come to them and you would give them encouragement, Lord, and strength. Lord, I thank you that you tell us that we will never be tempted beyond what we can endure and that you will always be with us and that you will help us. So I pray that that would be their experience today. And Lord, I also want to pray for us, Lord, and I thank you that you've kept us safe, all of us who are here today, that you've watched over us, that you've protected us from this virus so far. Lord, I pray that will continue to be the case. Lord, I pray for those who are particularly vulnerable amongst us, Lord, that your hand would continue to be on them. Lord, that you continue to protect them from the virus and keep them well, Lord. And Father, I just pray as well for those who are facing additional physical, Lord, needs. I pray that you would be with them, Lord, I think particularly of Carol and Jeff. Father, watch over them. And Trish and Trevor as well, Lord, you know the difficulties they face with the pain that they suffer each day. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them each day. I pray for Cecilia and Steve as they are recovering from, Lord, different ailments. Lord, I pray for Steve as he is going through a period of rest and recuperation. Lord, help him to do that, to rest, Lord, and to grow stronger each day. And I pray that soon he'd be well enough to return to work. And I pray for Cecilia also. I thank you that her operation, her biopsy was clear. Lord, we praise you for that result. And I just pray as well that she'd make a full recovery and be able to return to work at the hospital. Lord, and I do remember Tracy and her mum as well. Lord, I pray for Tracy. Lord, she has, Lord, many physical challenges herself, and she's also trying to care for her mum. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just strengthen her, help her to cope with the many pressures on her as a mum herself, and Lord, with her own family, and then the increased care that her mum needs. I just pray, Lord, that you would help her each day to know your strength, Lord, and your wisdom, Lord, in caring for all of these. So, Lord, I just commit these to you. I pray that you be with them, Lord. And I pray for our activities that will be starting again in the coming week. Lord, I think of Monday Club starting. And I just pray for the children that you'll bless them as they're able to meet together online. I just pray for those times together that they'd be fun. And, Lord, that there'll also be times for learning more about the Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll have the children to enjoy their time being able to meet, if not together physically, Lord, but online. I pray that they'd enjoy that time together. And Lord, I just pray in the coming days that we'll be able to meet together physically, that the restrictions that we have currently will be lifted, and Lord, we'll be able to see each other as we were before. And Lord, I pray also as well for the Tuesday group. I pray for all of the members of that group, Lord, that you be with them. Lord, I know that for many of them, that group will be a time of being able to see people and talk, and it'll provide, Lord, an opportunity to not be alone. Lord, just that fellowship that they can have, that friendship, Lord, that group provides, which is so important to many of them. Lord, I pray that you will be with each one of them. Lord, encourage them and keep them safe, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the time will soon be here when they'll be able to meet together again. Lord, so keep them safe in the meantime. I pray that during this time they'd be reminded of your word, that you bring it to their minds, of the truth of the gospel that they've heard so many times, that it would cause them to think about you and to draw near to you, Lord. And I pray also for the dementia groups. Lord, I thank you that they've had their first meeting, and I just pray that, again, that would be able to continue. Lord, we're looking at worsening restrictions, perhaps. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with each of the members of that group, that you will help them during this time, Lord, to, Lord, care for their loved ones who are suffering from dementia, Lord, and the effect that lockdown has had, and having to shield, and Lord, all of these things have had an impact on the progress of this disease in many lives of people who suffer with dementia. So I just pray for their loved ones who are caring for them, and the pressure that that can sometimes bring, and the relief that being able to meet with others who understand what they're going through provides. So we just pray, Lord, that that group would be able to commence again. So Lord, I just commit ourselves to you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to hear your word today. And I pray, Father, that as we listen to what Kevin has to say, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would have hearts that are ready to hear your word and to accept it, Lord, to act upon it, Lord, to realise that, Lord, it's not just any words, but these are your words. I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, and bless us, challenge us where we need to be challenged, Lord. And I pray that we would, Lord, act upon what you want to say to us today. Lord, help Kevin as he brings that word to us. Lord, guide his thinking and his the words that he says. And I pray, Lord, that you would use him to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thank you, Jan. Let's see, do I have some lovely children to talk to this morning? Who can I see? I can see Sean. I can see Peter and Kukenga. Can I see Rowan? Let's have a look. Yes, good morning, Rowan. Okay, so if you remember last week when Philip was talking to us, he was talking to us about the fact that our Lord God is in control of all things, including time. And Philip reminded us that when we face difficult, challenging times, that God is with us and he knows what will happen. Now, I've been thinking a lot about that this week. I've been reflecting on that, and I would really like to share some of my thoughts with you. Here's last year's calendar. And on Friday, when it was New Year's Day, I changed the calendar over and I was looking back at some of the things that happened earlier in the year. I've got here that on Monday the 27th of January, I picked up Oscar and Quinn, Poppy and Mason, and I took them to Monday Club. And then I've got February, when it was half term, that I went to stay with my mum and dad for a few days. I remember that. March, 6th of March, I went to the dentist. Now, that was a good thing because I got toothache at the time, so it was good that I could go to the dentist. I think some of you might have got your calendars with you and perhaps can share something from your calendar for 2020 that did happen. Who's got a calendar? Sean, would you like to tell us what something from your calendar that happened last year?
We went to Liverpool for Lila's birthday.
Okay, lovely. You had a great day touring the stadium, didn't you?
Yeah, Anfield tour.
Anfield tour, super. Peter, Kukenga, have you got something that you would like to share with us?
I think there was... Well, most of mine is filled with X's from lockdown, but there's one day when I had to go to school just for, like, I think 1 hour on... in July, because my mum had to go to work, and that was when we were doing homeschooling, so it was just like one day where I was at school. So that's mainly all that's in my calendar.
Okay, Peter, have you got something you'd like to share with us?
Well, it's the same calendar.
Did you go to school on the same day as Kukenga then?
He had school.
Yeah. Okay, super. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Kukenga. Rowan, do you have something on your calendar that you'd like to share with us?
2nd of August, Brecon and Beacon Wales were 4 days.
Okay. So that was something that did happen last year. Super, thank you. Now, as I was going through my calendar, I started to notice that things got crossed off. Lots of different things that didn't happen. A friend of mine was leaving work to have a baby. We were meant to go out for a meal together. That didn't happen. Then I noticed that I'd got a holiday crossed out when we were meant to go away. That didn't happen. I was meant to meet another friend and that didn't happen. But you know, this time last year, I would never have imagined that all those things would have to be cancelled. I'd made my plans, I'd put them on my calendar, fully expected all those things would happen, and they didn't. But God knew that 2020 wasn't going to turn out quite the way that we expected it would, and it didn't take him by surprise. And you know, as I was thinking about it, we can be really joyful about that. We can be really joyful that even though some of the things that we planned didn't happen, that we can know that God knows all things before they happen, and that we can be joyful in knowing that that means we can trust him more and more, even when things don't happen the way that we expect them to. We can be joyful and we can trust God because he knows what will happen. And then, see this calendar, 2021, I put this one up and I started looking at all the months, which are all blank at the moment. And I was thinking, oh, what could I fill in? This calendar has even got some stickers. I love stickers. This has got calendar stickers for holidays, for days out, for birthday celebrations. And I was thinking, oh, should I put those all on the calendar? But maybe I shouldn't, because even though it's good to plan, and I do like planning, even though it's good to plan, we should also just really be aware that only God knows our future. So we can plan things, but only God knows what will happen and what won't. No matter how many appointments, how many celebrations, how many days out, how many visits to the dentist I make, the only day that we are promised is today. And I know sometimes some people get a little bit scared about that, about what will happen tomorrow or next week or next month. And they wonder what will happen. But we need to remember that we can trust God, that he is in control of all our lives and all of our tomorrows. And as I say that to you, I'm also saying it to myself, because sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get a little bit worried about what tomorrow will bring. And I need to remember, just as we all do, that God is the one that we can trust with our tomorrow and our next day and our next day. And that's why it's really important that we should remember verses from the Bible that can help us to focus on what is true about God. And Sean is going to share with us this morning a verse from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 that can help us to remember the truth about God. Thank you, Sean.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way.
Lovely, Sean. Thank you. Very clear. So it's a really important verse that we can remember, that we can trust God. And even when we make our own plans, we rely on God rather than ourselves. So thank you, Sean. Let's just say a prayer to just close that bit before we move on. So let's just think about what we've heard there. Dear Lord, we give you today and all of our tomorrows. If we feel worried about our future, please help us to remember that you are in control. Help us, God, to live the way that you want us to. Amen.
Amen.
And I think, children, some of you may have a colouring sheet with that verse that Sean has just read to us. And if you do and you want to colour that in for the rest of the service and share it with us at the end, that would be super. Okay, thank you. So we are now all going to come to our next song, which is Come People of the Risen King. Thank you, Phil.
Okay. I hope you belted that one out. We did. We come to God's word now. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Luke's gospel, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be reading verses 51 to 62. I'm reading from the NRSV. So this is Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is God's word. Before we take a look at that passage of scripture, we'll sing another song, and it is "Jesus Be the Center." So keep your Bibles open, but let's just sing another song before we take a look at that passage of scripture. Thanks, Phil. So here we are at the beginning of another year, 2021. 2021, it sounds futuristic, doesn't it? But here we are, 2021. How do you feel about the year ahead? Are you apprehensive? Perhaps a bit pessimistic because of last year? Or are you hopeful, thinking it's got to be better than last year? What attitude should we as Christians have about the future? And how far into the future should we be looking? I think it would be fair to surmise that some people would say, I focus on the life to come. Forget about this life. I'm just passing through. I focus on the life to come. Others would say, forget about the life to come. You have to live for the here and now. I heard a preacher once say that we all want to go to heaven, but we all want to catch the last bus. Is that true for you? How far ahead should we look? And what should our attitude be as we step into 2021? Today's reading helps us out a great deal with this. Studying Jesus, we're studying Jesus in Luke 9, verses 51 to 62, we can work out how far ahead we should be focused and what attitude we should have as we go forward. Let's try, first of all, to deal with this question of how far ahead we should be looking. Should we be looking ahead to heaven and focus solely on that destination, or should we bring our sights closer to home, to the present, and live for the here and now? It's always good to start at the beginning, isn't it? So let's start with the first line of our reading, verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. We actually have 2 points of focus there, don't we? The phrase to be taken up is referring to his ascension. He's being taken up into heaven. Earlier in the chapter, in verses 28 to 31, we're told about the appearance of Moses and Elijah on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured. You'll remember his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Then suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. Now, what did they talk about? Verse 31 tells us that they spoke about his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So how far ahead was Jesus looking when they set off? Was he looking forward to being taken up to heaven? After all, Hebrews 12:2 instructs us to look to Jesus, who, quote, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The joy set before him certainly wasn't the cross, was it? He endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him, his being taken up. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Some translations, like the NIV, say that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. The New King James Version says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And all of them remind us of Isaiah 50, verses 6 and 7, where the prophet predicts the sufferings of the Messiah. Verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. He then goes on to say in verse 7, the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like flint. The picture we have here of Jesus is of him resolutely setting his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. So his focus at this point then seems to not on being taken up to heaven, but on what he was to suffer at Jerusalem, because he had to be steadfast and resolute in his determination to go there. You know, at first I thought, well, the two are so closely linked together, his suffering at Jerusalem and his being taken up, that they almost merge. Could we be trying to separate two things that are too closely knitted together, that we can't do that? But then I remembered he didn't immediately ascend to heaven, did he? He appeared to his disciples for 40 days before he was taken up. Even so, and either way, Jesus is looking ahead to the end of his life, which he says in John 12, 27, is the reason that he came. But there's another event, though, that happens before Jerusalem, the raising of Lazarus. Jesus has his face set like flint to go to Jerusalem, and yet he doesn't ignore the present. There's work to be done in the here and now. Jerusalem will come, but it will come in God's timing. The road that Jesus is on is leading there, but he's not going to ignore the work that needs to be done on the way. In fact, there was quite a bit of work to be done. Besides the raisings of Lazarus, he still had to send out the 22 and cleanse 10 lepers, just to mention a couple of events. We see, therefore, that Jesus has his goal, his life's goal, which happens in Jerusalem. The knowledge of eventually being taken up gives him the resolve to go and face what he has to face in Jerusalem. But he isn't blinkered to the good works prepared in advance for him to do on the way there. There's our template then. There's our blueprint. As Christians, we should keep looking to the future, because the knowledge of being in heaven one day will give us the joy that we need to face the trials of this life. And God has prepared good works for us to do. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We mustn't ignore those good works by focusing solely on the joy that's ahead. But we need the knowledge of that joy to motivate us to the good works, and also to face the trials of this life. Many in our fellowship have had huge trials over this last couple of years with loss and illness. Praise God, the knowledge of our future joy helps us in our trials. Not just our trials of well-being, though, but our spiritual trials too. We're told in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus tells us that we will be hated. Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. There's the joy, the motivation. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die for sinners, so that sinners can be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life. But he was still rejected. Verses 52, 53, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for Jerusalem. The Samaritans and the Jews would have nothing to do with each other. So because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, that Samaritan town would have nothing to do with him. Can we take rejection for being Christians and for holding on to the hope that we have in Christ? Only by the assurance of the joy before us can we. So as far as how far we look forward is concerned, let's keep one eye on heaven and one on earth. One eye focused on the joy to come and one looking out for the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. One eye in the future and one in the present. each one of us in KEC who's put their faith and trust in Jesus for salvation can be assured that that day will come in God's timing, when we will be filled with that joy that's ahead for us. But there are good works to do here in this life. And the main one for us as a church is the preaching of the gospel. Over the next 2 years, we've actually got an opportunity, over this next 2 years, we have an opportunity to fulfill our calling as a church through outreach events that we're planning to be involved in. Last year was a very difficult year, wasn't it? In many ways. So this year, we need to be re-establishing our footing, regroup, so to speak, make changes if necessary, and remind ourselves of what we're about and what our aims are. Next year, that's 2022, in March and April, we're aiming to be a part of a national outreach and evangelistic mission called A Passion for Life. And here's a short video about that. Thanks, Phil, if you want to just show that video clip.
I love 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. Our Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a verse, and what a verse for this time. Today's actually the anniversary of my mother's death, and it's amazing to know that Jesus has destroyed death. And what a message, brothers and sisters, for a time like this. I was out on Sunday. It was our 4 o'clock meeting together for the 5:30 service. And I was amazed as we were inviting passers-by the difference between now and March. It was as though in March people had their backs to us, but now the pandemic has opened things up. I mean, I know it's been brutal, but they were facing us. They're looking for answers. We've all been rocked. How can we help people go from hunger and spectating to actively following Jesus? Let's come together as we seek to answer that question, because it's the key question. Churches and Christians across the UK are preparing to unite in mission in the lead up to Easter 2022. Personally, it was thrilling to see churches nationwide on mission for A Passion for Life in 2010 and 2014. And we're praying for an even bigger impact as we unite once again to proclaim the hope of life in Jesus. Christians will be trained and encouraged to journey with their friends towards life. So many are talking about the fact that this is a reset. Surely there's no better time for us to gather together to proclaim Christ. Join with many Christians and churches across the country. Put March, April 2022 in the church diary and begin praying and planning for A Passion for Life. Please join us in praying that life and immortality will be brought to light as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus to all corners of the UK.
Those of you who've done the Christianity Explored course will recognise Rico Tice there. We want to take that opportunity to reach out around us and to add to our number. So back to the question then of our attitude. What should our attitude be as Christians as we walk with Christ, looking both to the future joy of heaven and the good works prepared for us to do on the journey? What should our attitude be? In verses 57 to 62, we have three examples of attitudes that are not the attitude that we should have. A stark contrast, in fact, to the attitude of Jesus that we read about in verse 51, which is a steadfast and resolute resolve. In each of these three examples, the word follow is meant literally, as in physically follow. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and to follow him meant to go with him. And in the excitement of the moment, perhaps, this man tells Jesus he'll follow him anywhere. verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It's easy to follow Jesus when you haven't actually got to go anywhere. I followed him most of last year from a kitchen table. Certainly every Sunday on Zoom. This man, it seems, had not counted the cost. And Jesus is telling him that to follow him meant to not even know where you're going to be sleeping that night. And of course, that Samaritan town had just proved that by rejecting him. There's an interesting passage a couple of chapters later in Luke 14 that could be read alongside these verses. In Luke 14, verses 25 to 30, we see that lots of people are following Jesus, lots of them. And I'm sure that in an effort to wheedle them down, Jesus says some really eye-opening things. Hyperbole is to exaggerate something that's an important point, to get an important point across. No doubt Jesus uses hyperbole in this passage of Luke's gospel, Luke 14, 25 to 30. Now, large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.'" Jesus is stressing here the importance of counting the cost of discipleship before committing to it, because there is a cost. The first man had not counted the cost. The second man may well have counted the cost, but he had higher priorities, saying, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus told him in verse 60, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." What Jesus is saying there, of course, is to let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. But if this man is spiritually alive, then he needs to follow Jesus. Now, this may, on the surface, this may sound really harsh, but let me point out two things. First of all, unlike the other two men, this man was called by Jesus to follow him. To another, he said, "Follow me." So this man is actually being disobedient. He's trying to put off following Jesus. This is a delay tactic, because two, we don't even know if this man's dad, this man's father, has died yet. If he has and the man needs to bury him, then what's he doing here? The first man had not counted the cost. The second man had higher priorities, and the third man was too attached to what he was leaving behind. Verse 61, another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Verse 62, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The obvious point that Jesus is getting across to the man is that he isn't ready for the kingdom, because if he's going to keep looking back, then he's going to go off course. If a man is ploughing a field and keeps looking back, he's going to veer off course. It's the same for those who want to follow Jesus. If they keep looking back to the life that they had before Jesus, then they'll go off track and lose their way. Now, at the end of the day, we don't know how those three men responded to what Jesus told them. That's not important, though, is it? Because if it were, we would have been told. We are told about these three discussions, not so that we can examine the commitment of those men, but so that we can examine our own. Are we willing to forego the luxuries of this life to follow Jesus if we're asked to? Do we realize that following Jesus and proclaiming the kingdom should be our highest priority? Can we set our faces like flint and steadfastly follow Jesus, letting go of whatever holds us back? When it comes to our attitude as disciples of Jesus Christ, we learn from these verses that it is that's the attitude that we should have. A steadfast and resolute commitment, determination to follow Jesus, wherever that leads and whatever the cost. The reason we need it is because we're always going to be fighting the good fight of the faith. It's good that Peter and Sean have got the boxing gloves there. We need to be fighting the good fight of the faith. We live in a world that is opposed to the values and beliefs that we as Christians hold, and the devil will always be looking for an opportunity to destroy our faith. So we can't be half-hearted. We must be committed to following Christ, keeping one eye on the joy ahead and one eye on the present, steadfast in our walk with him. Now, of course, if we're honest with ourselves, not many of us can say with our hands on our hearts, that's me. I'm all of those things. Yes, that's the attitude I have. If we're honest, we're probably a little bit concerned that we may not meet the full criteria. The good news, of course, here is that this is not an issue of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Saved by grace through faith from beginning to end. Perhaps another reason that we're not told how those men responded is because it leaves it open-ended, doesn't it? They have a choice, as we do, as to how to respond to what Jesus said. They and we can say, okay, forget it, and walk away. Or we can say, all right, I hear you, Lord. I need to change that priority, and I need to let go of that because it's holding me back. Again, that's what these verses are meant to do. To make us question where we are and what we need to address. The only question then, when we realize where we are in relation to where we should be, is how do we get there, where we should be? Well, one way is we're doing it right now. We grow in our faith by studying God's word, because as we do so, the Holy Spirit transforms us. Titus 3, verses 4 to 6, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our God appeared, he saved us, not because of works of righteousness that we'd done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So when we know we are not where we should be, then we should pray and ask God to transform us and conform us to the image of his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can be sure of God answering that prayer too, can't we? Because of conforming us to the image of his Son, because we know we are praying in line with his will. Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's what we're praying for. So because of the promise we find in 1 John 5, we know that God will answer that prayer. 1 John 5:14, and this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of him. It may be a work in progress, but it is a work in progress. As we follow Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is transforming us into his likeness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it just mind-blowing? But it's what the Bible tells us, so it's true. So we need to be praying and studying God's word, the Bible. With that in mind, we're going to be starting a Discipleship Explored course very soon. The Discipleship Explored course is the next one on from the Christianity Explored course, and it looks at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Those of you who have done the Christianity Explored course will know the format. We begin with a video and then have a time of discussion, looking in this course at the letter to the Philippians. The course will be over 8 weeks. We'll meet on Zoom on Wednesdays at about 7:30 p.m. and each study should last for about an hour or so. So if you'd like to join that course, just let me know. It's the beginning of the year and we are stepping into the future. So let us be resolute in our attitude, determined that we're not going to look back. We're going to look forward, and let us set our faces like flint and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That brings us then to our final song of this morning, which is Shine, Jesus, Shine. And can I encourage you again, sing your hearts out. Shine, Jesus, shine. Thanks, Phil.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on. Story.